Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Joe McGee here. We're talking about the heroes of faith. One of the greatest things I had an opportunity to do years ago was serving on a church staff. And I taught chapel. They had a Christian school, and I taught chapel every day. So basically 170 days a year, you know, for 10 years I taught chapel. So I was kind of running out of sermons, and I went to a local bookstore, and I found a children's Bible storybook, Egermeyer's Children's Bible Storybook. You can still find it at Barnes & Noble stores today. It's a Warner Press hardback book. Every major story in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, she wrote a one-page or a page and a half modern English version of that story. Then she had that chapter and verse where she got it from. And I love that book. And people would ask her, where'd you learn the Bible? Teaching chapel for 10 years, I learned it. I went from Genesis to Revelation, you know, 10 times in 10 years. And you kind of get the big story. God's good, devil's bad, people are stupid. So anyhow, today's one of my favorite stories. It's about Elijah. Man, it's a great, great story. God used the life of Elijah to show that, you know, God will sustain us through anything. James 5:17 says this, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Many times you read the people in the Bible, that, well, geez, that was Moses, you know, that was Joshua, that was Jephthah. Well, no, they're just normal people. They're just regular, everyday normal people that need to eat, go to the bathroom, get dressed. They got stuff to do. They got bills to pay. They're normal people. You know, they get to believe God like everything else was. So Elijah faced 10 temptations and conflicts just like we do. After his greatest victory, though, was his greatest challenge. And I used to warn my kids, be careful after a great victory. That's where you better shape up. You think, man, God just showed up. We had a financial miracle. We had a big miracle. We won that ball game. You know, I finished school. That's when the devil's attracted to weakness. So be careful after a great victory. That's when the devil always tries to show up, because you'll tend to relax. When you're believing for something, you know, you work and you got your focus, and all of a sudden then you achieve that and you think, well, let's sit down a minute. Don't ever sit down. You can't do that. So Elijah, after his greatest victory, man, he's running for his life. He's ready to quit and give up and die. He's depressed mentally. He's just shot. But God was faithful. So I kind of give the beginning of the story. It's in 1 Kings in the New Living Translation. And so I'll just give you a little bit of the story. It's really good. In verse 16 of chapter 18 of 1 Kings. Now I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, Elijah said, I swear by the Lord Almighty in the presence of whom I stand that I will present myself to Ahab this day. So Obadiah went and told Ahab what Elijah had, that he had come, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. And this is the heathen king coming out to meet the prophet of God. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, so it is really you, you troublemaker of Israel. Really? Is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel? I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers. Got blunt, right to the point, not trying to make a friend, telling the truth. You have refused to obey the commandments of the Lord. You worship images of Baal instead. Now summon all of Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who are supported by Jezebel. So I want you to bring your 850 prophets out here to the mountaintop, and we're going to square off against one another, basically what he said. So Elijah said to them, I'm the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. He's out there on the mountaintop. They're getting ready to have a contest. And so he says, now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood on their altar. But without setting fire to it, I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood on the altar of mine, but not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord my God. And the God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God. And all the people of Israel agreed and said, well, that makes sense to us. Let's have a contest. That's good. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls, prepare it, and call on the name of your God, but don't set fire to the wood. So they prepared the bulls, placed on the altar, and then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, shouting, oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced and hobbled around the altar they had made. At noontime, Elijah began mocking them. Well, you're going to have to shout louder. You know, surely if he's a god, maybe he's daydreaming. Maybe he's relieving himself in the bathroom. And maybe he's away on a trip, you know, or he's asleep and he needs to be woke up. So they shouted louder. And following the normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords till the blood gushed out. And they raped all afternoon to the time of the evening. They've done this all day long for 8 solid hours. Cut themselves, hollered, screamed, yelled. Then Elijah called the people, "Come over here." And they all crowded around him. Now, there's all the people on the mountain, man. There's a ton of them out there. He said this. There are people crowded around the altar that he had prepared. And they said, "Take the 12 stones, one representing each of the 12 tribes." They used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around large enough to hold about 3 gallons of water. He piled the wood on the altar, and then he cut the bull into pieces and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, "Fill 4 large jars of water and pour the water over the offering and the wood." After they had done this, he said, "Do the same thing again." When they were finished, he said, "Do it a 3rd time." And so they did. And the water ran down around the altar and filled the trench. Now, he's just soaked his altar. The wood that he's supposed to set on fire, he has soaked it. They didn't soak the other altar, but he has soaked his. Elijah the prophet walked to the altar and prayed, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are the God of Israel, that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all that you have commanded. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people know that you are Lord, O God, for you have fought them back, you brought them back for yourself." Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven, burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It licked up all the water out of the trenches, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their face on the ground and cried, "The Lord, He is God. Yes, the Lord is God." Then Elijah commanded, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape. Chase them down the valley." And they did that, and they killed every one of them. So before the day was over and the sun went down, they killed all 850 of the prophets of Baal. Anyhow, word gets back, you know, things begin to happen, word gets back, and there are a couple other miracles that took place. Word gets back to Jezebel, and she is livid. These were her prophets. This is her false god. And she is so mad. She says in chapter 19, verse 2, "So Jezebel sent this message to the prophet, 'May the God strike me and kill me if by this time tomorrow I am not killed, and just as you have killed them.'" Well, the Bible says Elijah was afraid. Who? You know, Elijah, the guy that just did the miracle, called the fire to heaven on the water-soaked altar, saw the things God did. He was afraid, and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, town in Judah. He left a servant there, and then he went on into the wilderness. Traveling all day, sat down under a solitary broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. What's he praying? "Lord, please kill me." Now, who's praying? The guy that just called fire to heaven and burned up the altar? Who's praying? The prophet of God? What's he praying? "Lord, kill me. Kill me. Jezebel's going to get me. Kill me first, God. Go ahead and just kill me. I just want to die. Go ahead and kill me." He said, "Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who've already died." Then he laid down, and he is tired, and he just run for his life, and he slept under the broom tree. But while he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him to get up and eat. He looked around, and there was bread that somebody had broken by his head on some hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate, and he drank, and he laid down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him, said, "Get up, eat some more, for the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up, he ate and drank the food that was given him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. He has run for 40 days and 40 nights. The angels have even fed him food. You know, it's time to feed him again. And so there he spent the night. Then in the morning, the Lord said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah said, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down the altars, killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." And God said, "Well, go out and stand before me on the mountain." The Lord told him, and Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm on the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks on the mountain were even turned loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and then he went in, and he sat down at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said again, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And Elijah said again, he's got this thing, he got his story down, but I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken covenant with you, torn down your altars, killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left. They're trying to kill me too. Then the Lord said, get up and go back. Oh man, I hate it when this happens. Get up and go back from where you came. Travel the wilderness to Damascus. When you arrive there to Hazael and the king of Aram, then anoint their grandson to be the king of Israel. Then anoint Elisha's son to be the king of, be my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed, and those who escape from Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed their knee. You're not the only guy I got left, son. I got 7,000 others. You think you're the only one? We all get there. We've all been there. I'm the only one that's doing what's right. I'm the only one that's telling the truth. No, you're not. God's got people everywhere. So Elijah went and found Elisha, the son of Jehu, plowing in a field. And there were 12 teams of oxen. And he was plowing with the 12th team. And he came and threw his cloak around his shoulders and walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there and ran after Elijah and said, Lord, first let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I'll go with you. Elijah replied, go back, but think about what I've done to you. So Elisha returned to his oxen, slaughtered them, used the wood from the plow to build a fire, passed around the meat to all the townspeople, and he left and went and served Elijah as assistant. Now what's happening is God's getting ready to pass the mantle to another generation. What's he doing? Well, we're going from Elijah to Elisha. And so all of a sudden he's following around and saying, I want what you got. I want what you have. Now you should tell people, especially in Bible school, you know, you got to want God. You can't just show up. You know, you want what God's got. I mean, you want to be what God's got for you. And so there has to be a stepping out. I remember when we went to Bible school, I wasn't good in high school. I really didn't like to study. I just played sports and, you know, going to date and sucked lips off somebody's face. I really don't have any goals in my life. But my early 20s, God blessed me. He had a good job and working as a lab technician. And I meet this guy who gets me spirit-filled. So, man, I'm on fire for God. I'm reading my Bible. We're having a Bible study at our house every Friday night, inviting people over for dinner. And we'd step sometimes to 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning just reading Scripture. We didn't know what we were reading. But I had a hunger for God. And so finally quit my job, and I moved to another state to go to Bible school. And I had people, relatives, you know, that came by the house. Have you gone crazy? You've gotten a religious cult? What happened to you? No, I just found God. I want to serve God. And so we realized something. I found a good Bible school, so I quit my job. So for about 3 years, I'm going to a 2-year Bible school. My wife and I have 3 minimum wage jobs between the two of us. We're barely putting milk on the table, but we're excited to go serve God. I knew God had called me. People said, you going to pastor? I don't know. Were you going to be an evangelist? I don't know. I just know God's called me. But I got to walk it out. I got to start moving that direction. So God can say no at any given moment. And I remember even the Bible school I went to, they had a reputation, you know, about 10% of the students that have come here over the years are today in full-time ministry. 90% are not. 90% came and realized, nope, we love God, but we're not called. We love God, we like to serve, but we're not called. And that's kind of a shame, but it was a good revelation. And so I realized I was called. And so I get on a church staff, and I'm hired to be a children's pastor, and I don't know how, I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but they told me, said, well, you're the children's pastor. And there are certain other things that came with the job that I needed to do. I oversaw intercessory prayer, and I didn't even know how to pray. And so most of the things I was asked to do, I wasn't qualified to do. But I learned how to do them, and that's the same thing I learned in the electrical industry. You got to stick your hand up and just volunteer sometimes. You wait until it's perfect, it's probably not going to happen. So Elijah, he's realizing, you know, I got something going on. I got to obey God. And he saw such great miracles. But then all of a sudden, one negative day shows up, one negative thing. He's running for his life. For 40 days, he's running for his life. Where's the God that brought the fire to heaven? Where's the God that burned up the altar? Where's the God you've been trusting? All of a sudden, you flip-flop. And so every day, I tell people, every day, and I used to teach my kids, every day you get to get up, and it's a brand new day. God's mercy is brand new this morning. You get to start all over again. Every day you get to repent and forgive. Every day you get to repent. Every day you get to forgive. We are growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. There are no perfect people. I don't care what you think. Well, they have a great life. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they've had to overcome. You don't know the attacks they've had. You're just seeing them for a few minutes or in a short conversation. You really don't know the price they've had to pay. So Elijah and Elisha, they realize something. Elisha said, I want what this guy's got. So he throws the man along and says, what do you want? I want double what you got. And Elijah said, you don't know what you're asked for. Well, I want what you got. And he said, well, God sent the chariots to pick up Elijah, take him to heaven. And all of a sudden, if the mantle falls and hits you, it's yours. And sure enough, as the chariot came and picked Elijah up, take him to heaven, as they're going up in the sky, that mantle fell off him, fell down, and landed on Elisha. So Elisha goes up to the river, and he stands there, and he thinks, okay, let's test it right now. If this is really the God of Elisha, he took that mantle that had fallen on him from heaven off of Elijah, and he slapped the river, and he parted the river. Well, the river parted. And all of a sudden, he goes on, and the Bible says that he started the school of the prophets. He did twice the miracles that Elijah did. He starts the school of the prophets. He began to multiply. He had a desire to do what God asked him to do. He wanted to be really good at it. So I tell people, there are no perfect people. They're just people who are hungry for God. It's not your IQ. It's not your GPA. It's not whether you have a degree or you don't have a degree. It's just whether you obey God or not. It's just as simple as that. Did you obey God? And so I tell people, you know, I laugh all the time when I say it. I said, I'm going to my 50th high school reunion this year. And people think it's funny that I'm a preacher, number one, that I'm even a preacher. But number two, that I speak all the time. I do seminars. I do about 60 seminars a year, and I've done it for 27 years. Well, if you knew me when I was in high school, I took F's on all oral book reports. I don't give an oral book. I didn't do it in elementary, junior high, or high school. I signed up for oral composition my freshman year in college. I didn't even know what it was. All I know is I need freshman English, and I signed up, and it said oral composition. I don't even know what that meant. Well, it's a freshman class, so I signed up, and I realized when I got to class, you have to make speeches. I said, man, you make speeches in here? Yeah, that's what this is. It's oral composition. What'd you think it was? I don't know. I'm a freshman. I'm a doofus. I don't know anything. Yeah, you got to make speeches. I said, well, I don't make them. And the professor was very nice. He's a first-year professor. He said, so, well, if you don't do it, I'll give you an F. I said, well, go ahead. I've had an F before. It won't bother me a bit. And so I didn't go back to class because I'm not making speeches for anybody. And so they didn't give me an F. They gave me an incomplete, which is worse than an F. And so that cost me later on. It really did. But people said, what happened to you? Well, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and got in church. And there was just a boldness that came I had never seen before. I had never felt before. I had never known. And you realize it's all God. So as great as Elijah was, Elisha saw something. What do you want? I want what you've got, but I want double what you got. I want double what you have. And God said he would give us the desires of our heart. God promised, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And so you got to want God, guys. You just have to get a hunger. And what you do by reading through the Bible and reading all these stories, these people are people just like us. Like I said, Elijah was a man subject to the same passions as we are. Same weaknesses, same desires, same passions. You know, one time he prayed to God that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. And it didn't. And then he prayed. God said, it's time for it to rain. So then he prayed that it would rain. And so he's up there praying, and he's got his head between his legs. He's praying hard. He has a servant. Hey, run up on the hillside if you see a cloud happening. And so he did. He ran up on the hillside looking for a cloud, and he came back down and said, nope, don't see anything. Are you sure? Well, let's go back up there again. So he sends him seven times. Seven times Elijah sent his servant up there. Finally, the seventh time, the servant came back. Hey, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. And Elijah knew something. You got to pray sometimes till it happens. People don't pray long enough. Well, I prayed, nothing happened. Well, you didn't pray long enough. Pray until something happens. Elijah did that. Elisha did that. Jesus did that. You pray until something happens. God is a good God. He will always answer prayer. Somebody once said, higher level, bigger devil. Sometimes you have to pray harder for some things than you do other things. But know that God wants to supply all of our need. God loves us, guys. He wants to be good to us. Get your face that book. Read some stories. It's going to build your faith up and really encourage you. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.